is in the Bible. I'm so excited for her talk. We're just going to open with the doxology at the... You can't? That's never been a problem. I'm going to read the end of her passage right now as our opening, and it's the doxology for this passage. And she's teaching on Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Why don't we pray? Father, thank you so much for your word. And Father, I just thank you especially for this beautiful letter to the Ephesians. And Father, I just pray that each one of us will really take in your truth, take in who we are because of you, take in just the fact of the magnitude of your love, and that, Father, we would live differently because we have internalized how much you love us and what a gift you gave to us out of that love. So, Father, be with us this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts to hear what you have to teach us. Be with Terry as she speaks, and, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here and to hopefully grow closer to you through the study of your word. We love you so much. In your son's name, amen.
Good morning. Okay, I am doing something I've never done before. Those of you that know me well know that I've never done a PowerPoint, and because everyone else does one, I thought it was finally time for me. This will be my last chance to do it in a certain decade of my life. We'll go with my grandson. He thinks I'm going to be 16 on my birthday. He's saying, how old are you? How much before 16? I said 15. He goes, then you're going to be 16 next week. So that's what I am. Sherry did a great job on, I thought, a very difficult passage last week. And I, you know, we kind of just don't always pick the passage. We just pick the times we can speak. And I was blessed to get to teach on this beautiful prayer of Paul. And at first it's short and it can seem simple, but as I got into it and as you did your homework, you probably realized there's a lot in it, isn't it? It's not simple. And I hope that I can make it more meaningful just through what I say today. I ask the Lord for that. I have learned a lot myself. It is probably a prayer that you all have heard before. It's prayed in churches. It's a wonderful one, but it's hard, I think, to really grasp the fullness of what Paul is saying. He is really deep. I've been studying this book and also Colossians in another study, and it's like I shared with a friend, Sarah, yesterday we were going over some verses, and it's like every sentence of his has got so much in it. And that's why I think he's asking God to help us to really understand basically what he's saying and why we need the Spirit's power to do that. Paul is asking, I think, in this prayer for God to do something, I want to say, call it our core, what's really deep inside of us, our inner being, he calls it. I got to attend a conference or a briefing about the Jesus film this weekend. Hope many of you have heard of that. It's a film about the life of Jesus that's been all over the world, one of the greatest evangelistic tools that we've ever had in the world. And they showed pictures of people like in Africa or kids seeing the film for the first time. And when they can see something in their native, their home language, it pierces their hearts. And they showed a picture of these children watching the crucifixion of Jesus and crying and almost wailing because it was so real to them. And at the end, when Jesus rose from the dead, they were all clapping. And it just touched my heart. It was so sweet. And many of them believed. But because it hit the core of who they were. And I want to ask us this morning, what is in the core? What's in my core? What is in the deep inner being of your heart? If we could strip off all the outer stuff, what would we see? What is driving your life? Is it peace? Is it joy? Love? Hope? Or could it be restlessness? Maybe loneliness? Shame? Anger? Jealousy, comparison, hurt, disappointment. You could probably name others. What really is going on inside your core? And I want to compare us to a house. And we'll see something here. Oh. It worked. Keep praying. Okay, this is a really pretty house, doesn't it? And it looks great on the outside. And all of you look great this morning on the outside. You look beautiful. You're together. Your hair looks nice. You have on makeup. And so outwardly, you're a beautiful group of women. But what if we could strip away that outside and look into our core? What would we see? Maybe your core would not be so nice inside. It could be messy. Life could be feeling out of control. Maybe you're brokenhearted, angry, having no peace and joy right now. Or maybe this might be a picture of your interior of your house. Perfect. A perfect kitchen. But you know what? That's not always great either, is it? This is someone who is, everything is so perfect because there's super high control, because if we can just control everything, then maybe life won't be too bad. And so neither one is great. And Paul, what he's doing is he's asking in this prayer for God to do something in the very core of our being. And I want to say just how he starts out in the first of our passage. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name." And the phrase at the beginning, "for this reason," you always have to look, what is that talking about? I used to hear about, if it starts with therefore, what's the therefore? And it's kind of like this. And actually, it goes back to his thought begun in 3:1 that says, again, "for this reason," which refers back to 2:11 through 22, something that Sherry talked about, regarding the union of the Jews and Gentiles. And Paul is often so excited and overwhelmed that we actually now get to share the same inheritance, the same privilege, the Jews and Gentiles being one. And so Paul is so excited that it said he bows his knees before God. And I think I love that picture. This is a modern day Paul. The Jews in the Old Testament mostly stood when they prayed, so that Paul would go down to his knees, show how excited he is about this new truth, and then also he's bowing in submission before God. And it's a good example to us to meet every circumstance that we come to with humility and trust, really, in God's sovereignty, his goodness, and with a yielded heart. And if we have that attitude on bended knee, I think we're going to be more ready for the next part of Paul's prayer. The next part of our passage says, "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit." There's that inner being again. God's riches are without limit, aren't they? So I think his riches can help us be strengthened in the core by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love a verse in 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, "So we don't lose heart, even though our outer nature or man is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." I've been having issues with my feet for a year or so, and I finally had checked them out and finally decided to go to the doctor and found out there's a little bit of deterioration in some joints on the ball of my feet. And that's not fun news to hear for a hiker that loves to hike and walk. But this verse was so encouraging because it's telling us our outer bodies are going to wear away. But our inner nature, our cores, are being renewed daily. And I thought, isn't that great news? What if we let the Spirit work in us and keep renewing our inner core, our inner being? Think how new we're going to be inside when we see Jesus. I love that. So the Holy Spirit plays many roles in our lives, which we've talked about, but this might be a new one where he's strengthening us in our inner being. And then it says, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." The word "dwell," I like that, conveys the idea of settling down, taking up permanent residence in our core. And I'm going to borrow this illustration from Dave, my son. He said that most of us have Christ. We have Christ in our hearts. But is he really at the center? And it's like the contrast to maybe going away for a week. We go up to the mountains every every year and stay in a cabin. And it can kind of feel like ours for that week. We get the same one. And I'll unload my clothes and put them in the drawers and kind of fix up the kitchen and put our food away. And I usually like to get wildflowers and have a bouquet on the table. But we wouldn't start painting it. We wouldn't start re-carpeting it because it's not really our home. But when we move into our own homes, what do? Right away? We can't wait to make it ours. We unpack our kitchen. Us ladies, you want that to be settled. You fix the bedrooms. You might do some painting. You hang up pictures to start personalizing it. And you might, you know, tear down walls. You never know. But you begin to make it your home. And Christ wants to make a home in our inner being, not a cabin. He wants to come in and paint what needs to be painted, tear down some walls maybe that shouldn't be there, clean up some of that mess that we saw in that picture, and maybe mess up some of the cleanliness if it's too perfection. So he wants us to relax in him in our inner being. And I just had a fun idea to look up the Ephesians. What happened to the Ephesians in Revelation? John is writing to the seven churches. And so I looked up what was going on in the Ephesians, what happened to them after quite a few years after Paul wrote this letter. And listen to what he said. John first commends them, or Jesus is basically talking, and says good things about them. And then he says, yet this I hold against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. You have lost your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. What did they do at first? What are they doing now in this book of Ephesians? They're hopefully having Christ dwell in their heart at their core and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they need to keep doing, and they had lost that. Further on in Revelation 3, there's a verse where Jesus is knocking at the door of our life. And this is our home. He's coming to our home and knocking in our hearts. And we often use this verse in Revelation 3:20 for evangelistic purposes, which is good to do. But in the context, it's actually for believers, and it's to the church in Laodicea. And Jesus is coming strong onto them too. They've become lukewarm in their love for Jesus. And he said, I would rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. And listen what he says. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich and have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So he's pretty strong. And then he says to them, to whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So it's in a different, we usually will say that for a person that doesn't know the Lord, but he's saying this really to believers. Have me come back in really at your core, not just dwelling in there, but being a big part of it. And I just thought that was really helpful. So we can pray that prayer as Christians. And say, Lord, we want our first love to come back. And talking about love, then Paul goes on and says, in the second part of this prayer, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. I love that verse. Rooted, I think, gives the idea of a tree, and you think of big trees when you're in the forest or whatever, and sometimes you see them uprooted because their roots are shallow, and the ones that can go deep can stand in the storms of life. That's rooted. Established or grounded brings to mind the solid foundation of a building. And I think of the parable Jesus gave about the wise man who builds his house on a rock, not the sand. And I thought of a funny little story that I used to love to tell my kids, now grandkids, and the three little pigs story, which you all know. But the first two were foolish, and they built their house of straw and then sticks. And when the big bad wolf came, he could just blow them down. But the third pig built a strong house. It was a big house. I can tell you the whole story word for word. And the wolf came, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he could not blow down that house of bricks. But That's the kind that Paul wants us to be established and rooted in God's love. The house of bricks, not the house of straw. And I love the part where it says that you may grasp how wide and long and high is the deep love of God. And I really pictured that that idea of grasping. I was thinking, what is a good illustration of grasp? And it's reaching a goal, but then just hanging on to it. And so I had thought of a dog. I really thought of a big dog, but I thought this was so cute. When you take a dog for a walk, if you guys have dogs and they're so excited, you have to hang on to that leash or they'll run out the door. And if they're not very obedient, you've got to keep holding it or they'll run away from you. And God wants us to hang on, to grasp that knowledge of his love and never let go. And I love that picture because, you know, if we're holding God's love, we are happy. And I had a friend text me just yesterday with a really disturbing text to me. She's really in a hard place with her husband and boys. She's just had it with men almost. And I was kind of scared for her, but at the end of her text, she said, I've always hung on to the joy of God, and I'm going to hang on. And so I was able to write her this verse after studying it, and I said, I'm praying for you that you will grasp his love and feel it and don't let go. And I'm here for you, because it says in that verse, along with all the saints, we need each other to help that, don't we? It's hard to grasp it by ourselves. So just think of that maybe when you're taking your dog for a walk, grasping onto God's love. And I love the verse that just talks about God's love. It's how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And so I want us just to think about the width and breadth of his love. First of all, it's so wide. And Terry and I were at the Grand Canyon just recently, and the amazing view to sit there and look out at the depth and width. And that's nothing compared to the width of God. And his width of love, if you want to say it, is good enough for each one of us in this room, but it's good enough for the whole world. And when I go to foreign countries, sometimes I was in Jordan one time, and I realized most of the country was Muslims. And I was looking around all these people. I thought, God's love is wide enough for all these people. And at the Jesus film, I heard a really cool story I'd love to share just about his love. In the Middle East, there's a couple that has been working for the Lord for a long time. And they're in their country, a lot of refugees have come, and many of them are Muslims, and many women whose husbands were with ISIS have fought their evil in that way. But this lady invited a bunch of these women to come to their church, and she thought 10 or 20 would come, and the church was packed full, so I think a couple hundred. So everyone was sitting there in burkas, and she said, I want to show you a film about Jesus in your own language. So they showed the Jesus film, and they thought, well, by the time I got to the crucifixion, the ladies would walk out. And they didn't. And by the time the resurrection came, they thought they would leave. Every woman stayed. And they were crying. And this lady gets up. She's very bold. I mean, she's had to be. Her life is at risk. And she said, who would you rather follow? This man, this Jesus who died on the cross and loves you that much and is alive again, or a dead prophet and go to hell, is what she basically said. We're like, whoa. I guess you get strong when you're in that country, but a lot of the women started taking off their headdresses and accepted the Lord. And so that just showed me the piercing of the love of Jesus when they could see it and really feel it in their own language. And things like that are happening all over the world, and especially Muslim countries. So that was really encouraging to me, because our world, we hear such the bad news, but God is at work. God's love is long. It continues the length of our lives and on to eternity. You know, it will never end. It'll just get better and better till we see Jesus face to face. So picture one of the longest. This is a pretty long river, but God's love is much longer than that. His love is high. We actually stood on that. And that's over the Grand Canyon, and it's scary. But I thought, in ways, God's love is so high that it can take care of us in the heights. It can take care of us on an airplane when we're so high, you think of it. But also, his love is so high that it can take in our happiness and our joy. You know, when we go on a neat place and you come back and have a mountaintop experience? Well, Jesus' love is there in such an exciting way. And then it is deep. can't see that. That's a person going into the dark, deep ocean. That freaked me out, that picture. But I thought God's love reaches down to the depth of the sea, to the depth of our discouragement, our despair, maybe even and for sure death. And from the 23rd Psalm, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow, he is with us. And I thought a neat thing, you could look at this as kind of the four arms of the cross. His love is so wide and long and high and deep. And so when you see a cross, remember remember his love. I love that. And I thought of a verse in Romans 8:38 that you all know, but it says a similar thing, but a little bit different. It says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, nor life, nor angels or demons, nor present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So not only do we have this amazing love, but we can never be separated from it. I wanted to read from our book. It's from a commentary I'm using. I think the person said it so well, better than I can. How big is God's love? It says, how big is the love of Christ? How wide? How long? How high? How deep? Paul prays that we will know. We may never fully grasp the measure of Christ's love for us, but these verses give us a hint as to the dimensions. It's as wide as the outstretched arms of the crucified Savior, embracing Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, male and female, reaching out to whosoever will. It reaches low enough to touch the most wretched sinners and high enough to reconcile them to a holy God. The love of Christ is big enough to have room for the sexually abused and the abuser, the woman who's had an abortion and the man who caused her to do it, the person addicted to alcohol or pornography. How big is his love? As big as the cross. I just think that's so beautiful. And I want you to think for a few minutes as you've heard these words of God's love. What has Jesus said to you? Has he said something about his love, a quality, just something? And I'm going to play a song about how great the Father's love. And as we're listening, if you could think of something, I encourage you to write it down. I did this the other night in another group I was in. Just one thing maybe the Lord's told you and keep it. And look at it again, and it might be very personal, so you might not share it, but if it wasn't too personal, it might be neat to share in your groups also. So just take a few minutes as we're listening to the song.
His dream.
I love those words. His wounds have paid our ransom. That's how much he loved us. His love is beyond understanding. I don't think we'll ever fully grasp it. But together, with all you saints, we're going to help each other learn more about it. And I encourage us today to open up the real deep core of our heart to Jesus. He's there, but let's give him more of ourselves. We have all of him, but he doesn't always have all of us. And Paul is so thrilled. As Anne read, I'm going to repeat this as our prayer. Paul gets so excited when he starts talking about all this. And so he just has to go off, and that's what he does at the end, where he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So we say amen. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, I love that. Loved the study. Can't hear enough how much God loves us. So thank you, Terry, so much. That was awesome. Okay, I don't have any announcements, but I wanted to thank Yvette's group for bringing snacks this morning. And I'm going to announce each week, too, just the group that's going to be doing snacks the following week. So next week, Diane and Debbie's group has snack. And Joy Miller, you're up for coffee. So other than that, you guys have a great week and grab some snacks. Okay.